from the studios of KPCW in Park City. It's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our connections with it. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak. Well, our planet has just experienced three consecutive warmest years on record, 2014, 2015, and 2016. In addition, 97% of scientists whose job it is to study the atmosphere and climate have all agreed that, one, the planet is warming at an unprecedented rate, and two, man-made carbon dioxide and methane are the primary contributors to that warming.
Yet, the president has just filled three posts, including the head of the EPA and the DOE, as well as the Secretary of State, with men who continue to assert that the science and the consensus behind global warming remains unclear, and perhaps just a natural phenomenon.
That's right. And so, joining us in the first part of the show to discuss the impacts which the new administration will have on our national or local, state and national climate policy and what is being done about it will be Jed Werner of the Citizens Climate Lobby.
And on top of that, Jed promises that there will be some positive news to talk about this morning. So
I'll stick around for that.
Yeah, well, don't hold your breath right now. In the second part of the show, we'll speak with someone who's done more than his fair share reducing the carbon dioxide levels here in Summit County. That's Jason Bartow, certified arborist and founder of Wasatch Back Trees, an environmental advocacy and action group dedicated to promoting tree health throughout the county.
And Jason will share with us the good news that one of his volunteers, Barbara Richardson, just received the Citizen Forester Volunteer of the Year Award for 2016. And what did she do to deserve it? And what can you do out there to be the next recipient?
All of that and a couple pieces of news from the state, from DWR and...
Antler Collecting?
That's right. There's a temporary ban on antler shed collecting. We'll get with you on the details about that.
And we have some other biological invasive species news we want to share.
That's right. Interesting.
Yes.
Stuff.
It's This Green Earth, and it all gets started right after these messages from our underwriters.
Hi, this is Brenda with Republic Services, your local source for recycling and garbage collection and a proud sponsor of KPCW's This Green Earth. As you recycle, please remember, glass cannot go in your residential curbside recycling bin. Thank you for helping to keep Summit County clean and green. SummitCountyRecycles.org.
Support for KPCW comes from Crandall Capital with New Park Town Center. With urban amenities and services and home to restaurants, shops, entertainment, lodging, and residences. More information about New Park Town Center at 801-303-5440.
This is Ari for Recycle Utah. Did you know that you can recycle items that contain mercury at Recycle Utah? Thermometers, thermostats, fire detectors, and fluorescent light bulbs can all be dropped off at the recycling center during business hours.
Recycle Utah is your community nonprofit recycling center since 1990 and a KPCW supporter.
Welcome to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues, concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak.
I'm Nell Larson.
And joining us in the studio is our first guest, Jed Werner. He is with the Citizens Climate Lobby, a national environmental advocacy group that focuses on climate-related issues. Is that kind of right, Jed?
That's pretty close, Chris. Okay. we exist. Citizens Climate Lobby exists for one reason primarily, and that's to develop and manifest the political will to implement a carbon pricing legislation in the United States, and then expanding worldwide. So,
and that political will is probably focused on Washington, but can also be focused on state and local governments too.
Absolutely. We manifest political will to Washington through a lot of our local entities, our businesses. We call these organizations the grass tops. We have what we call grassroots outreach, which of course is just individual citizens, and grass tops outreach being the influential individuals, university presidents, businesses, community governments, and we manifest, and state governments. I mean, we manifest our political will to our federal government through all those means.
And before we get too far into this, explain briefly what the carbon fee and dividend that you're advocating is. How does it work?
Well, the generic term for what we're proposing is a revenue-neutral fee on carbon. Mm-hmm. And what that does is it applies a gradually increasing fee on carbon-based fossil fuels proportional to the amount of greenhouse gases emitted when the fuel is consumed. All that money is collected. And in Citizens Climate Lobby's proposal, the fee starts at $15 a year and then increases $10 a year after that.
$15 per year per ton?
Per ton.
Of CO2?
Of CO2, yeah.
Okay.
And it's termed revenue neutral because all the tax is collected and then redistributed back out to the economy. And so there are several different variants of how this is done, of revenue neutral carbon fees, and the difference between them all is how the funds are redistributed back out to the economy. In the Citizens Climate Lobby model, it's distributed out through a dividend to the citizenry, the taxpayers.
And so, for most people, they would break even or actually come out ahead with this system, right?
They would. And the in Citizens Climate Lobby's model, the lower, say, 50 or 60% of wage earners would get more back in dividend than we would expect that their energy pricing to increase, because that's going to happen when you put on when we put a tax on fossil fuels. All of our gas prices are going to go up. Our electric utility prices are going to go up.
Right.
So it's anticipated that businesses are protected from the tax because they pass it through. All right. And then,
so I'm going to pay more. Effectively, I'm going to pay a little more at the pump for gas and diesel. I'm going to pay a little more for electricity if it's coal and natural gas based. I'm going to pay a little more for my natural gas bill. But the less I use of each one of those components, the less I spend, and the better value I get from the dividend I would receive. Okay. So it's incentive. There's an incentive there for me to use less fossil fuels.
Yes, at the lower economic levels, there's both an avoided cost and a dividend,
right,
incentive,
okay,
to use convert to renewable energy sources, right? And so hopefully those folks will actually get a little bit of extra cash, and they'll be able to use that cash to make smart energy decisions, which will then save them utility bills and gas bills, give them a little bit more cash, and even for those on the higher economic end of the higher end of the economic spectrum, the deficit is on average 0.2%. So their dividend will cover all but 0.2%,
right,
of what we would expect their energy costs to go up. But typically these are folks who are higher per capita energy users anyway, and they're also folks who have the financial means to make an upfront investment with a deferred payout, and so the avoided cost incentive of making that investment and reaping the benefits over time in the near future is enough, and it's accelerated. So,
okay, so It's interesting to hear who actually is behind this type of carbon fee, because there are representatives in the fossil fuel industry that think this is a beneficial move.
Oh, absolutely! It's not a new concept.
Rex
at
Tillerson
all.
Himself, I believe, has supported a carbon fee.
Yeah, they have. ExxonMobil has supported specifically a revenue neutral carbon fee since 2009, and within the oil and gas industry, there were six of the major oil and gas producers from Europe: Shell, Total, Statoil, ENI, and a couple of others sent a letter to the United Nations in November 2015, just ahead of the Paris Accords, encouraging the United Nations to establish a worldwide fee on carbon. So,
all right. So let's talk about first on a local level, how how you've seen some success there. Recently, a couple of ski resorts kind of signed a letter agreeing to this process.
Yes, they did indeed, so we've had endorsements from a couple of significant local entities for over a year now, specifically the National Ski Areas Association and Protect Our Winters. All right. But up until now, we did not have the endorsements of any of our individual ski resorts. And so just recently in the past month, Deer Valley signed on and Solitude signed on as official endorsers of Citizens Climate Lobby's carbon fee and dividend proposal. And that's, we're real appreciative of that, of the leadership that they've shown and the courage in the political environment of our state of Utah. And that's a big deal.
And where do you go with this support that you have now? Will you be visiting other businesses? Will you be going to state legislators to show mm-hmm. them what you're seeing?
All of that.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
We'll be doing all of that as well as sharing that all of his manifestations of political will with our federal elected officials. So, and I'll talk a little bit more about that
right.
when we talk about the national what's happening on the national level and
okay.
and how this political will comes into play.
Now, if a business is interested in learning more about this, interested in signing on, they contact you and can learn more about it?
Absolutely. They can contact me, Judd Werner, or send me an email at parkcity@citizensclimatelobby.org. All
right. Okay.
And it's one of the efforts of our local chapter that we'd really like to get kicked off here is a business outreach, and I'm really in need of some local business leadership to help in that regard. If any,
you happen to have a copy of the letter? Can give us our listeners a sense of what this letter says and what they're signing on to?
Sure, I can. The letter starts out like a resolution with the whereas
right.
paragraph, and then it talks about talks about climate change and the costs and the impacts of climate change, and it's followed by a therefore a series of two or three paragraphs that talk about Citizens Climate Lobby's carbon fee and dividend and urges Congress to support carbon fee and dividend legislation, and then there's a section at the bottom of the letter for the principals to sign, and they can sign as either an individual or they can sign as a business or both. And in these cases, Deer Valley and Solitude are signing on as those entities.
So, all right. And hopefully this will,
yeah.
quote-unquote, snowball to other resorts signing on also, and businesses, like you say. We're speaking with Judd Werner. He's with Citizens Climate Lobby. We're talking about some of their policies and some of their climate-related advocacy efforts. We talked about local. Let's turn our attention to what's going on a statewide level. You have some news there to share?
I do. Some encouraging things on
some
a state
encouraging
level,
things.
Level
things.
As well.
Judd, you keep it's saying so that.
Strange show. All right. But we have some challenges there. With respect to, well, this is kind of off the mark with respect to other environmental issues like bear's ears, the mm-hmm. resolution just passed by the state Senate to ask the president
by Governor Herbert.
To, right. And other congressmen who support that the Bears Ears National Monument should be rescinded or revoked in some fashion. That's another story
it
for
is.
Another time. But you've got some stories with respect to state efforts on climate.
Absolutely. And there's some good things going on in the state legislature. And I think we let's not deceive ourselves. The chances of there are two bills specifically
okay.
in the state legislature this year that relate to climate that are both favorable developments. And like I said, let's not necessarily deceive ourselves that there's a great chance that either one of these are going to pass.
Right.
But the mere fact that they're there, and we have legislators willing to sponsor these bills, and we have citizen support willing to show up in favor of them, it's all progress. And who knows when we're going to get to the tipping point. But specifically, we've got a bill in the state Senate right now. It's called Senate Joint Resolution 9. The title of that resolution is Joint Resolution on Climate Change. This resolution was written by a collection of students at Utah State University and Logan High School. Those students are mentored substantially by a Citizens Climate Lobby leader by the name of Jack Green from Cache County.
Oh, good.
Jim DeBacchus has sponsored this bill, joint resolution on climate change, and it's right now in the Rules Committee. It's being determined which committee will review the bill. We think it's likely to go to Health and Human Services. So there should be opportunities within the next hopefully the couple of weeks for individuals and. This team of folks who put this bill together are looking for student support primarily to show up at the state capitol building in support of this bill.
But it's a resolution.
It's a resolution.
It's not a bill. It's just a resolution.
Well, hang on a second, right. Chris. It's because what you may not know is that in 2010, our state legislature passed a resolution calling upon the EPA to not invest or spend any money on climate change until the science was more definitively proven.
Right.
And this bill actually replaces that.
Okay.
Okay. So it's progress.
I recognize that there's value in this.
Yeah.
It is a resolution. It's not necessarily a bill or an act or regulations, but it's a step.
It's a step.
Okay. So that's joint resolution number Senate joint resolution number nine. That's still in committee.
Right.
House committee. Okay.
It's in the rules. So, and then in addition to that, Representative Joel Briscoe put out a press release, it's probably been about 6 weeks ago now, of his intention to introduce a bill, Chris,
help Chris feel better.
Yes,
for a revenue
neutral fee on carbon.
Wow.
In the state of Utah.
Wow.
Applied statewide, and we Citizens Climate Lobbies. We've met with Representative Briscoe. His bill generally mirrors our carbon fee and dividend proposal, and that bill right now, we're looking for a co-sponsor. And in the ideal scenario, we would find a Republican co-sponsor to help sponsor that bill with Representative Briscoe. It's going to go forward regardless. But right now, that bill it hasn't been submitted. It doesn't have a number yet. But that is his intention. So
keep an eye.
That's very nascent stages.
Yes,
but that's encouraging too. And that would be a state-based.
That would be a
carbon
state-based.
Dividend system.
Yeah.
Does any other state have that in place at this point?
Not on a state level. As you're aware, there was a revenue neutral carbon fee proposal on the ballot in the state of Washington that was defeated recently in the election in November. But it has now been reintroduced into the legislature.
Modified
and changed. You know, in the state of Washington, it was a kind of an interesting scenario there. That bill was actually opposed by some of their environmental groups because they thought it didn't go far enough in earmarking the funding for renewable energy investments. That bill refunded the carbon tax through the sales tax, and there wasn't adequate enough line of sight for a lot of the stakeholders to see how that was going to enhance the renewable energy transformation. That's why they defeated it. This bill that's in the state legislature in Washington now is actually, it's not revenue neutral. But the money is earmarked to be invested by the government in specific renewable energy initiatives.
Interesting.
So it's being modified.
The text is being modified
so that it might get better, gain more support from environmentalists in the state of Washington. All right, we got a few more minutes. Let's turn our attention to the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. What's going on there? We know that things are going on there on a daily basis.
Right. It's a big question.
But let's stick to some encouraging news. In a sense that there's something called the Climate Solutions Caucus. in D.C. What is that all about?
Well, and that is and that really is good news. And the Climate Solutions Caucus is an entity that was established in February of last year, February 2016, and it was kicked off by two representatives from the state of Florida, Carlos Curbelo, a Republican, and Ted Deutsch, a Democrat. And so this circles back around a little bit to the discussion we had earlier about manifesting political will.
Mm-hmm.
So Citizen Climate Lobby had a really a formational role in establishing the Climate Solution Caucus, which has now grown to 10 members in each party, 10 Republicans and 10 Democrats. A Citizens Climate Lobby volunteer by the name of Jay Butera had just had the insight that the breakthrough was going to come from South Florida, because they are the area of the country that is most imminently impacted by
right.
climate change through sea level rise. And so Jay, even though he's from Pennsylvania, he moved down to South Florida. He's he's been a climate lobbyist for 10 years. He joined CCL 3 years ago. He moved down to South Florida, and over a period of time, he started a chapter of Citizens Climate Lobby there. That chapter put together a dossier of endorsements for carbon fee and dividend by a collection of over 60 major businesses, community governments, university presidents, and influential individuals. And it was that dossier of political will that convinced Carlos Curbelo to jump in and take the political risk of initiating the Climate Solution Caucus. So it's
we looked at that list with you before the show and noticed that one of our folks here in Utah, Mia Love, is part of this Climate Solutions Caucus, correct?
Wow.
That is correct.
That gets a wow.
That does get gets a wow.
That is correct, and that is significant local news. And Representative Love joined on November 17th. For any of the listeners who may have watched Years of Living Dangerously, there was a specific episode titled Safe Passage that talked about the Climate Solutions Caucus, and it interviewed Representative Love. And at that time, she wasn't really ready to take the plunge, but in November, she did. And we're real excited about that.
Right. All part of the Climate Solutions Caucus. I wonder if they have a website or do they meet in secret? You know, they want to not ready to come out
undercover
come
of
out
night.
Yet. But that's encouraging news that representatives from both parties, Republicans and Democrats, in Congress, in the House of Representatives.
Correct.
I don't think there's any senators in this group. These are all these are from the House of Representatives are meeting to discuss climate related issues and policy. Perhaps.
Yeah, and policy. Well, that's and I can't repeat it verbatim, but there is a charter for the organization, and it starts off something like they will investigate and evaluate policy solutions to climate change to both mitigate and
acclimate to changes.
Adapt.
Right.
Yes.
There's a lot of mitigation,
adapt to the
acclimation,
impacts.
Adapt. And they have their work cut out for them, because we know that Scott Pruitt's going to head up the EPA, and he's doubtful about human-based influence to global warming. And Rick Perry has also voiced his doubts about what degree. That's kind of there's a shift in strategy there to say, the planet seems to be warming. We agree with that. But we're still uncertain as to what percentage of this is man-made and what percentage still might be a natural phenomena or so. And that, we know, has been disproven. That's false. I mean, the vast majority of the warming that's going on is a function of human-produced, human-generated carbon dioxide and methane and nitrous oxide and other warming-type compounds that are being introduced into the atmosphere by humans. So that's the challenge, though. Those individuals are heading, and Rex Tillerson, too.
Yeah.
You know, he might have been all aboard for carbon tax and dividend, but he also has some doubts about the relationship or the percentage of which is human-based and which is natural, this natural phenomena. Mm-hmm. So those are the challenges going forward.
So with all that in mind, we have to wrap up in just a minute or two, but how can people get involved? You have an email list. You have meetings. What do you recommend folks do?
So what I recommend they do as a first step, just visit citizensclimatelobby.org. Okay. There's information there you can review about carbon fee and dividend in our organization. You can sign up online. Based on your zip code, you will automatically be directed to the right chapter. And so I'll get an email with your contact information, and I'll follow up. Or you're welcome to contact me directly through my Citizens Climate Lobby email, which is parkcity@citizensclimatelobby.org, and I'll follow up. And we do have some good things going on in the chapter. And our chapter's grown to about 50 people now.
Good.
One of our members, Megan Newsom, leads a monthly writers group.
Okay.
Where they get together and write letters to their legislatures. And
that's great.
Our federal representatives and our state representatives. That's a way a person can get involved. We do have our business outreach effort. We're going to be looking to expand on those business endorsements, and I'm really looking for some leadership help.
Okay.
With that effort, so one or more persons active in the local business community who want to play a coordinating role.
All right.
In that effort.
They need to get in touch with you then.
Yes.
It starts there. Well, yeah. Judd, always great to have you on to chat about the latest on what's going on with climate change and climate policy and what CCL is doing about it.
Yeah. Thanks
and
for having me.
We'll have you back on for another update. All right.
Very good.
Okay. Thanks again, Judd. Let's take a quick break for some underwriters. And when we come back, we'll have Jason Bartow.
That's right. We'll be talking with Wasatchback Trees about what they have going on this week.
You bet. It's the Screen Earth. We'll be right back.
Wyndham Vacation Rentals is happy to continue our support for KPCW and the Park City community. Wyndham Vacation Rentals has been in business for over 30 years in nightly vacation rentals and property management with a range of services for our owners and guests. 649-6606 or online at wvrparkcity.com.
Support for KPCW programming has been provided by the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance, a nonprofit organization dedicated to protecting Utah's remaining Red Rock Wilderness lands. SUWA and Utah's Red Rock Wilderness need your support now more than ever. To learn more about how you can become involved, please visit the SUWA website at suwa.org.
Hey, just a reminder, join KPCW starting Monday, February 13th for our Better Together Pledge Drive. We do pledge drives like no other public radio station. Ours are actually fun and offer thank you gifts that go beyond tote bags and coffee mugs. KPCW and you, we're better together. Join the fun starting on the 13th.
This is Steve Roney with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Utah Properties. We continue to be proud supporters of KPCW, our local source for Park City news. Our agents are Summit and Wasatch County's source for real estate, and we can be reached at bhhsutah.com.
Welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Mel Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak.
That's right. That is Chris Cherniak across the board. And in the studio with us for the second half of the show is Jason Bartow of Wasatchback Trees. Welcome to This Green Earth.
Thank you. Good morning. Great to be here.
So we are coming right up on the one-year anniversary of the Jason Bartow Day. I think you're the only man in town with his own day. And in honor of that, there are some festivities coming up for Wasatchback Trees, right?
Yeah, we're going to have a snow party out at South Summit Park in Marion, which is approximately 2700 North State Road 32. We're going to have a snow person building contest. We're going to do some sledding in the sledding pit out there. We're going to do some snowshoeing. We're going to have a raffle with prizes. We have hot chocolate and snacks for the kids.
Are you going to have a fire? Wood-based
fire?
Oh,
yeah. Well, we are going to have a wood-based fire. We're going to burn dead trees.
Okay.
On there. And, you know,
maybe
of those.
Maybe beetle infested.
We're some of the beetle-killed ones so okay. that we can get them out of the way and start replanting
right.
there.
Okay. So that's the tree angle to this.
Yeah. So, and this is a park where we've been doing an awful lot of work at.
What have you been doing there?
Over the last 3 years, we've planted about 40 trees. We've worked with a variety of partners from the folks over at Vail to groups coming up from Alliance Residential coming up from the Valley to Habitat for Humanity. So we've been working on this park for about 5 years now. We've submitted a master plan mm-hmm. that was developed by USU landscape architect students with input from all the neighbors and potential users of the park. And we're now working forward to getting that plan implemented, working with Summit County and parks. And it's a little challenging over there. We don't have a Snyderville Basin Rec over there, so we're kind of using a citizens' initiative to get things rolling. We've also partnered with South Summit Trails Foundation. We'd like to see a pump track go in over there as part of the amenities that the park's going to get.
A what track?
A pump track. It's a rolly dirt track that you can ride your mountain bike on.
Okay.
They're the ones you'll see with all the small hills, like large bumps.
Maybe old BMX track from people that can remember BMXing.
Okay. All right, so these are all part of your ongoing efforts to for tree-related advocacy and action. Like
yes,
call it.
And part of it is we wanted the master plan because we've been planting, but we were afraid that we'd get to a point that we might plant trees in a spot that something else belonged, whether it was a picnic table or a pickleball court. So we wanted to have a plan to know where we were going to make sure we wouldn't be removing any trees in the future.
Okay. Do other communities around the county or the county itself, do they have kind of an arbor-based master plan?
There are four of the towns do have a master plan that we helped develop a couple years ago. Yeah. How well they're being followed is yet another perspective. I mean, Park City just finally, I believe they developed a master plan about 3 years ago, and just earlier this year they hired a on-call landscape architect firm with an urban forester to start to implement that plan.
Okay.
So it's still, we're kind of in our infancy in Utah with community management and community forestry tree planting plans.
But you're seeing steps in the right direction.
We are seeing positive steps. We are making influences.
Okay.
Right. So there's also some good news. Somebody associated with Wasatch Back Trees, Barbara Richardson, received the 2016 Citizen Forester of the Year Award at the Utah Community Forest Council. So can you tell us what that award is?
Yeah,
congratulations, Barbara.
Yeah, congratulations, Barbara.
Good job.
Well, this is the third year in a row, actually, that a volunteer, some folks associated with Wasatch Back Trees have won that award. And I really think it's a testament to all the people in Summit County that have come out to help us on our projects. I think that's why there was a Jason Bartow Day and the first anniversary of Jason Bartow Day. And, well, yeah. But it's really a testament to everybody that's helped out. And this was a chance to recognize Barbara, who's one of our awesome super volunteers. She's the sort of the leading person in our Fruit Nuts program. She has taken hold with our working inmate program, and we've been working with them. They help us grub and mulch and take care of the trees. They help us with some of our apple harvests. And in return, they learn a skill that they might be able to utilize once they are done completing their time and, you know, paying their debt to society that way. So we think it's a real positive program.
Right. And as it says, she's worked with Summit County Jail inmates on different projects.
Yeah. So she's just really excited, really enthusiastic. I mean, if I had 10 of her, we'd be planting trees all over the state.
Plant them right now.
Yes.
So So that's fantastic. And like you say, others have received this award who've worked with Lost Outback
Trees. Yeah, we had two Eagle Scout candidates from Oakley in 2014. 2015 was the Wasatch High Envirothon team. So it's just, again, we have a great community to be able to do this in, and a lot of people that come in and supply energy to the program.
What are the plans for this year?
We're lining up a couple of Love Your Tree projects, which is where we go in and we take care of the trees that we already have.
These are homeowners or property owners?
Mostly parks.
Oh, okay.
We're working again to, we had a short stint with Snyderville Basin Rec last year, and with the change of management, we're really looking forward to working with them together this year to try to do some weeding around their trees. And they have a couple trees that didn't really make it from a transplant, so we hope to plant some new trees there. And we're also starting to do some work on the Wasatch Front as well. We did a planting with South Salt Lake City that included planting trees at a veteran's house. And part of their program, which is really interesting, is a lot of street trees, if they're not planted with enough soil, have a really short life expectancy, 7 to 13 years. So South Salt Lake looked at that and said, all right, if we can't plant a tree in the parking strip, then it's okay to use public money or granted money to plant a tree in somebody's yard, because it's going to have a much better chance to survive. Because really one of the biggest keys to tree survival and thrivability is the volume of soil that the roots have a chance to expand into. And if we expect a tree to live in a 5x5x3 foot square, we're really doing both ourselves and the tree a big disservice.
Right. So changing that mindset.
Trying to sort of the do it right the first time.
Yeah.
As opposed to waiting 70, you know, kind of a deferred cost. Hey, I can do it this way. But then when you have to dig it out, you're dealing usually with some sort of infrastructure. If it's a sidewalk tree, and trying to dig in a 5x5 hole is usually limits you to manpower, so that's not very efficient. And it's just a lot harder to do it that way. So I was at a conference in the fall, Partners in Community Forestry, and they actually looked at the economic impacts of planting a tree correctly and not planting a tree correctly. Mm-hmm. And it clearly shows over a 20-year period, it's worthwhile to put the money in up front. In fact, the state of Minnesota, if you plant a tree to their correct specifications, they will give you stormwater mitigation credits as if the tree was 20 years old when it was first planted.
Wow.
So they're really giving an incentive to people to plant trees correctly so we can realize the full ecosystem benefits of them.
Now, you guys work with a whole variety of partners, right? You work with other nonprofits, and you also work with municipalities, right?
Yes, yes.
So how does that work? You know, where does the Parks Department end, and where does Wasatchback Trees come in?
Well, in a lot of larger areas, there will actually be at least one certified arborist involved in the administration of a park or a municipality. Due to our size out here and because of economic constraints, we don't necessarily have that luxury. So if we're invited into a community, we're happy to help them with their community forestry management plans, organizing events, meeting the requirements for Tree City USA, and anything that they may also need to have done. Mm-hmm. Supervising pruning, helping write a specification so that they can have their trees pruned properly. So at some point, we're going to grow large enough in Summit County that we're going to need a Lorax or a tree czar to oversee the planting and the planning and the long-term care of the trees. And that's where it's really important. I mean, the actual planting of the tree is a small component. It's really the planning part, and we want to be involved with planning departments and making sure if they are going to have a parking strip and a parking lot, it's big enough. And if they're not going to give you the space, then why bother doing it? So we're able to share municipal and urban forestry research, which we try to stay on top of, with our local communities around here.
Well, go ahead.
Well, no, you first. Just want to say a Lorax, like you say, is important because just with respect to Park City and their goal to be carbon zero, by 2032. You know, that's an equation that includes carbon absorption. You have to take, they'll take credit for all of the vegetation in the Park City confines that absorbs, takes
well,
carbon
dioxide. Well, it sequesters and holds carbon. It there, but it also provides a deposition surface for particulates, which is giving us cleaner air. Healthier soil.
Structurally better soil.
Good water, cleaner water.
Right.
It's just
filtration. The physical, chemical, and biological impacts of a tree are myriad.
And also, one of the things that's so fascinating to me is human health benefits.
Yes.
Mental health is impacted by having trees.
There you go.
There are sightlined trees,
so,
right?
So there, we do need to spend more time from a climate point, from an environmental health, from our own health awareness point of view, spending more time planting trees and managing trees and taking
and this
care.
Is you know da-
they
and,
take
and,
care of us
well yeah and in our environment we can make an impact on a tree. It's hard for us to go up into the Uintas and save 100,000 acres of beetle wood because the base problem was lack of water.
Okay.
So we can't go and water those trees. So in the meantime, we need to control or put an impact in the areas that, I shouldn't say control, but the areas that we can put a positive influence on in our urban forests and our trees that we see around our houses. You know, we were talking a little bit about the mental health benefits, and that's part of our Hope for Heroes program, is to work with returned veterans and public safety personnel that may be experiencing PTSD and introducing them to the culture, you know, the ability to plant something and nurture it and take care of it and see something grow that lives. Because so many, the base of so many of their experiences and their PTSD was death and destruction and really non-positive it had to be done
right,
in many aspects, but we want to counter those experiences with the joy of planting a tree and the serenity that comes from it.
Right, and the appreciation you feel, the productivity you get, the sense of accomplishment.
Yes.
Of planting a tree and stepping back from that and say, all right, good, go get them, little puppy tree.
And with the knowledge,
so
that
it's up to you now.
If you planted it right, you may
like
have left.
The ones you plant at the healthcare, Sutherland County Healthcare.
That's
we planted
right.
those in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great day.
That was an excellent.
And now, hopefully, we'll see some come in the spring.
Yes.
How that unfolds.
And over 50-100 years, that's the other fun part about trees. Is like there's a saying, something to the effect that you can judge a civilization as advanced when old men plant trees whose shade they'll never see.
All right.
I like that.
Jason Bartow, he's a certified arborist with Wasatch Back Trees. We got just another minute or so. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Swanna Preserve needs more trees. And so stop laughing.
You're right. It's very serious that you don't understand the ecosystem, the wetland ecosystem.
It's very serious. Exactly. You can't
put
trees in Swanna Preserve. That's
the
point. Swanna Preserve is a different type of ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
That so in case people are thinking, we need to plant trees out in Swanna Preserve. Why?
That's right. It's a question we actually get a lot. Oh, it seems like you need some trees out there. And so it is. It's a conversation about you know, this kind of environment, this habitat is not, there aren't native trees to
right.
this. We've looked at the soil cores. You can look at the pollen history and you can see, hey, this has always been dominated by grasses and forbs and rushes.
The way it looks now, and that's the way it's going to continue.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Jason's got no shortage of property.
Just about everywhere else, though.
Yes. And so where can people go to learn more?
WasatchbackTrees.org.
And that's where they can sign
that's
up
our
to be
website.
Volunteer.
You can sign up.
The next volunteer of the year is listening to our show right now.
We certainly, they may even be planning a project for us right
there
now.
There you go. You're always open to that. Jason Bartow, certified arborist. Thanks again for coming in in the middle of winter. And your event again?
It'll be at Marion Park, 6 to 8 o'clock on Friday. And we're going to have what we're calling a snow party. And my staff and some of our volunteers said we need to do it to celebrate the first anniversary of Jason Bartow Day.
Oh, okay.
Which, again, is really an award to all the people in Summit County that have helped out.
I Jason just Bartow
happen
et al.
To be the, yeah. the face
You're the
at
face.
The front.
All right.
Absolutely.
It's a good face. All right. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll have you back in a few months to give us maybe a spring update on
Great.
How things are going.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jason.
All right. Let's take a quick break for some underwriters, and when we come back, we've got some news items about antler shedding collection.
Exactly. It's a hugely popular activity.
It is. I did not know
And
that.
There are some changes in the rules
All
for
right.
this year.
All right. We'll be right back to this Green Earth.
Hi, I'm Davey Ratchford from Park City Mountain and proud supporter of KPCW. Park City Mountain hosts winter events throughout the season, including the annual Torchlight Parade, New Year's Eve celebration, Spring Groove, and more. More information about all Park City Mountain events can be found at parkcitymountain.com.
Miller Orthodontics is a proud supporter of The Randy Barton Show. Since 1988, my wife and I have provided a combined 45 years of orthodontic care. For our Invisalign patients, we provide digital scanning and imaging technology that eliminates the need for wet molds of your teeth. More information is at m2ortho.com.
Back to This Green Earth. We got some news to cover in these last 5-6 minutes or so. We're going to start with a really, like you say, a real popular activity, collecting shedded deer antlers.
Yeah, or elk.
Elk or any
moose.
Antlers.
Yeah.
Moose, okay.
And so people just refer to these as sheds.
Sheds.
The sheds.
Okay.
And
this is done during the winter?
They shed?
Each of these animals shed
right,
their rack.
Each year, these animals grow these incredible antlers. It's the fastest growing, like, tissue.
But in the
then
fall,
each spring.
In the fall, they drop them?
In the spring, they drop them.
Okay.
So right around this time of year, they're dropping.
They're dropping.
Yep. So
they're coming right off.
Early spring, late winter. And yeah, they come right off. Every now and then, you'll actually see one that just has one. This is like lopsided.
No.
They don't come off at exactly the same time.
Oh, okay.
So, you know,
so
keep an eye.
It's like a loose tooth.
Exactly.
They're trying to shake it off.
Trying to shake that off.
All right.
You can collect these sheds each year starting on April 15th. Anyone can do it. But you can start on February 1st in most years if you go online and take a class. It's about the ethics of it. It's a little online course. It takes about 20 minutes through the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources. And it just kind of helps you understand the background of these animals, the do's and don'ts. Exactly. And it's pretty straightforward. It's really interesting. But DWR came out on, I think it was February 1st, with an announcement saying, hey, 11 counties in the state are closed to shed collecting because the animals are so stressed this winter. We have a really deep snowpack, which means it's much harder for them to get around. Mm. And there's also less food physically available, right? It's buried or covered in a lot of cases. And so these animals, it's all they can do to eat enough calories to keep themselves going. And they're pretty weak by this point. And I guess DWR is seeing some pretty
they're doing some
serious
feeding.
Impacts.
Aren't they supplementing some of their natural food with some feed they're providing in some locations in the state where there's a particular stress.
Okay.
So they're under stress. They don't need you standing there behind them waiting for their antlers.
Right.
To
and
fall.
So that's the whole point is kind of when people are collecting sheds, they'll often kind of shoo off, right, a herd or disturb them so they can get to the antlers that have been left behind.
Oh, I get it.
But what DWR is saying is just that amount of movement might be enough to kind of push these guys over the edge. They just can't sustain it.
Right.
They need to be able to lie down in one place and stay put.
And deal with this huge snowpack.
Yeah.
And cold. It was super cold temperatures.
Super cold temperatures.
So
then 2 days later, DWR actually had seen so much pressure on the other counties that they expanded the emergency order to the entire state, and it goes for private land and public land.
Wow.
So you can't do this on any, you know, HOA open space or Summit County or Park City open space or anywhere else.
So this is a ban that's gone into effect immediately and will continue until they
It will continue until April 1st.
April 1st.
Is what they're saying right now. So that still gives people that have the certificate like a 15-day period to get out before it's open to the general public. And this is like actually a huge industry. I wish I had the numbers. Many thousands of people do this, and there's a market for these antlers.
There is.
And so people are incredibly focused on this.
They go out, they collect them, they sell them.
Yep.
No.
Yeah, they sell them for decorative purposes, for dog chews, to companies that create stuff like that.
All right. Now, so if you do go out there now and collect, you're at risk of being cited or
yeah, they
arrested,
say you'll be cited if
and
you're
fined
if you're
found, and stuff. So don't do it.
Right.
And go to the DWR's website for additional information.
And if
about
you see other folks doing it, you know, let them know if you're comfortable. Explain, hey, this is not legal right now.
Right.
But DWR is also asking that, you know, you report this if you see it so they can follow up.
Yeah, because I'm sure there are a lot of people who aren't aware of this.
Right.
It's just something they do every year.
Yeah, it's the first time that DWR has ever had to do a closure like this.
Wow. That gives you a good insight just to how powerful our winter has been this year with snowfall and cold temperatures. All right. So shed... antler. Do you have one?
Have one what?
An antler? Antlers? Have you done it?
We have some antlers that we have collected from the preserve in years at the Eco Center, at the Swanner Eco Center. And those are actually we use for like educational displays and things along those lines.
But you'll find them occasionally out there.
We have had trouble with people trespassing and stealing them though. So please don't do that.
to have witnessed that.
Yes.
You've seen people out there looking, poking around.
Mm-hmm. And we've had neighbors documented. And
no kidding.
We've worked with the Summit County Sheriff and followed through on that. And,
all right. So
but if you're collecting sheds, we'd love to have those.
Not till April 1st, though.
No.
But when you do collect
not
them,
till April 1st
if you
or from
offer
other
them
years.
Up as
exactly.
educational. So, okay. Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
All right. Let's, you know what? We're out of time.
I know.
But
we have an announcement, a breaking news here. Winter Pledge Drive. It is KPCW's favorite time of the year again. Our Winter Pledge Drive kicks off Monday, February 13th. And if you help us raise our goal quickly, we'll again cut the drive short and promise you a pledge-free Friday. So give early and give often, and Friday
you'll have
regular
listen
programming.
To the pledge drive. Right.
Public Radio and the Wasatch Back, we're better together. Join us Valentine's Week for our Better Together Pledge Drive.
And we'll have our little pledge
edition
next Tuesday. This Green Earth edition of the Pledge Drive.
Partnering with Summit Sotheby's.
That's right. They always do great work. We're always happy to have them on. So
that's right.
That's next Tuesday for our show. But Pledge Drive is all week, unless we collect a lot of money.
In which case,
short.
Friday,
programming. Back to regular. All right. Let's take back to this regular program. One more round of breaks, and we'll be back. We've got to wrap up. It's This Green Earth.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided in part by AMA Waterways and Park City Air, Cruise, and Travel, 565-4730, parkcityaircruiseandtravel.com. Park City Bike Demos, Kearns Boulevard next to Adolph's, parkcitybikedemos.com. Long, Reimer, Weininger, Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, lrw-law.com, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, Summer.
Has your team Five Fat Guys signed up for Running with Ed yet?
No, we're guys. We'll sign up like the week before.
The week before? You guys are going to miss out.
Miss out on what?
Well, the free running shoes, for one. I heard the race organizers are making early registration something special this year. An opportunity drawing for some sweet swag and discounted team entry. Early registration closes February 17th.
Really?
Yeah, hurry, sign up.
Thanks, Summer.
You bet. Register at runningwithed.com today. Running with Ed is a project of PCEF, a nonprofit organization and a KPCW supporter.
It is time to wrap up This Green Earth. Thanks to our underwriters who make this show possible, including Recycle Utah,
Republic Services,
Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance,
Mark Miller Subaru,
San Francisco Design,
and Park City Mountain. right?
That's right. This is KPCW 91.7 FM Park City. Remember, we've got your